necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. You have tuned into Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named. And my guests in the studio are Jeannie Olson and JT McComas-Rowe, who are running for Borough Assembly Seat C. And if you have any questions or comments, the number to call in is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, we will kick it off. Jeannie, tell us about yourself, a couple of minutes, why you're running, all those things.
Okay. Well, I am running as independent, not affiliated with either party financially or with an endorsement or unions or outside interests. I've been around for decades testifying and being involved in borough issues and community issues. I'm endorsed by Interior Taxpayers Association, as so is JT. I think when you run a business, you're more aware of the cost-benefit ratios, and so I'm running because I am concerned about the wise use and prudent use of our public money. Mm-hmm. I think listeners can identify me by a few things that I've been active with. I think the one thing on their minds is the proposed animal shelter design, and I'm not against a new animal shelter. I think eventually we sure need it, but the design as is very flawed. Mm-hmm. I think that people also remember my efforts with air quality, and I got to say the air quality is good. It's much better than it was. Much better. And I wasn't, and I still am not against wood burning. I actually proved that you can burn clean.
Yep.
Mike, you're aware of that with the ESP study.
Yep.
And I do burn. I burn hot. I burn the Aurora Energy dry birch, which you certainly were spearheading that. And I have a very efficient stove, and I use my electrostatic precipitator. Then there was the appeal of the Elbliston Acre land development that the borough wanted to do out on Rep Road and Brock Road, and we were successful in stopping that for dozens of reasons, actually, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And then the other thing that I'm kind of proud of is that we did this little group project with the North Pole transfer site, and we collected pallets and put a little sections together, and people could actually place things in that were reusable in things like for books and shoes and clothes and coats. And it worked really well for a couple of years. And I think we need to do something about the transfer sites. I'm not quite sure what it is, but if we don't do something about it, maybe not just legally, but in some kind of a community spirit with nonprofits spearheading it, we just need to do something because they are unique and people from out of the community really go to them, right? And but so anyway, I'll turn it over to JT.
All right, JT.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for having me on. And Jeannie, good morning to you. I'm really pleased to be here with Jeannie. We get along really well, it seems.
Mm-hmm. We just got to know each other in August.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to this campaign. I'm a plumber and a tradesman here locally. I'm a small business owner. I have previously served on a number of boards and commissions in the borough, the Platting Board, the Planning Commission. I've served on the Fast Planning Technical Committee and on the Governor's Roads and Highways Advisory Board. And I'm running for this office because I think our property taxes are too high for what we're getting in borough services. And I'd like to do something about that. So that's why I'm here.
All right. Very good. Good. So, and again, if you want to call in, the number to call in is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And let's see, in the meantime.
I could add something about the taxes.
Okay.
If you want me to. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I agree that there are a lot of people out there that are struggling to pay their property taxes, and we can see that when you look at the foreclosures out there. And there are other people that think maybe it's just fine to pay what they're paying because they can afford to. So, but when we do cut taxes, then we got to figure out where we're going to generate that revenue. I think 68% of the borough's overall revenue is from property taxes. And then when you break that down, the property taxes itself from the tax revenue is about 95% of all the taxes collected. And then there's the marijuana and alcohol tax and the bed tax, which, of course, Tammy had proposed to raise it and then changed her mind after she heard all that hearing. Mm-hmm. So we've got to come out with something else to do, I think, because if we cut taxes, obviously, then we're going to have to decrease services and also the deferred maintenance for some of the buildings that need it. So we got to figure out where we're going to get. We have to be maybe probably more cost-effective, look at what is and isn't working in the borough, and prioritize some of our wants and needs. And I think the assembly is jack of all trades and master of none and gets advice from the administration about where the budget should go. But I actually think when I was there, I listened to the people that worked in the trenches, animal mm-hmm. tenders, the plumbers, the people that are at the reception desk. They're the ones that actually are on the front lines and hear things. And I think if you challenged them and said, we don't want to lay people off. We want to just be more efficient. We don't want you to feel like you have to spend it or lose it at the end of the fiscal year. I think there's a lot of things, and not maybe even consider, we use a lot of outside consultants. It's been a lot of money, and I think there's so much talent here in the community working with nonprofits to kind of take care of some of the things. Best example is Friends of Newby Park right now. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I'll let JT have some thoughts.
Taxes, yeah, and deferred maintenance, what else should
we do spend
here?
Too much yes. on outside consultants, and that's something that needs to change. But one of the best ways that you increase the revenue that becomes available to the borough is by expanding the tax base. And if you lower property taxes, which frankly are too high right now, you will spur economic growth that will add to our tax base. There are people in this community who will not build right now because of the property tax burden. And that not only applies to residential housing, but it also applies to commercial buildings. Mm-hmm. I won't build right now because of the tax burden. Members of my family won't build right now because of the tax burden. You right-size that tax bill, and you will see economic activity come about as a result of that. You will see more construction, and there's nothing that adds to the borough's potential revenue more than the construction of a new home or the construction of a new building. Mm-hmm. That's an enormous addition to the tax base. And that's what will happen when you lower taxes. That's what always happens when you lower taxes. You see economic activity blossom. Mm-hmm.
I think we have a phone call, and then
I think what we'll do, we're getting close to quarter past the hour, but let's go to the phone and get the question, and then we'll go from there. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Tom Kennedy,
we've got a couple of minutes. We're going to get your point, get your question, and we'll go to the break.
We went from running a business, the Little Willow in Pioneer Park. We ran it for like 11 years, mm-hmm. and we ended up having to kind of cease. We closed down because of the changes in regulations. They increased all the regulations. They changed the time that we could run our business. We didn't have the structure to hire employees. We just were running it ourselves. And we went from having one supervisor to having 15 supervisors at Park and Rec. And just the increase in bureaucracy at all levels at the borough, it doesn't seem like it's getting better. It seems like it's getting much worse. And so I think a lot of times that property tax issue might be related to just the increase in all these little niche jobs that are down there that cost all of us taxpayers money, and it's forcing us to make decisions with business and with other things, and it's not very helpful for folks who want to make a living here.
Okay, let's go. If you want to hang on, Tom, we're going to go to a break, and then we will take up a response to your comments.
Sure.
So stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
After selling out last trip, Emmy Award-winning comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is returning to Fairbanks. Catch him live Wednesday, October 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday the 2nd at the Spur, with a venue change Friday and Saturday night, the 3rd and 4th, for two intimate shows at the historic Palace Theater and Saloon in Pioneer Park. Tickets at alaskacomedy.com. Brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie's Station and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Don't miss Fitz.
If you build a place people want to visit, you'll build a place where people want to live. If you build a place where people want to live, you'll build a place where people want to work. If you build a place where people want to work, you'll build a place where business wants to be. And if you build a place where business wants to be, you'll build a place where people want to visit. I want to build on what I've done for Fairbanks. I'm Sue Sprinkle, running for re-election to City Council on October 7th, and I'd love your vote. Paid for by Sue Sprinkle for City Council, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.
As the snow creeps down the mountains and crunches under your boots, Alaska Gear Company only has one question. Are you ready? Introducing the Bunny Boot VBX Lite for those who move fast and travel light. And the Bunny Boot VBX Max, built for the extreme. Pre-order yours now for a limited time discount. Gear up right, gear up local. Stop on by Alaska Gear Company, 730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of rain this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 42. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, mixed precipitation likely changing to all rain. Lows dip down to about 35. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, thank you for staying with us through the break. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And with me in the studio this morning are J.T. McComas-Rowe and Jeannie Olson, who are running for Borough Assembly Seat C. And we were talking about Pioneer Park and some of the bureaucracy. So, J.T., would you like to take the first turn at responding to Tom?
Yeah, so that was an interesting comment. I gather from his commentary that the borough was his landlord in Pioneer Park, but it sounds like the borough was not the best business partner to have. And he's quite right about the bloated bureaucracy. You know, the borough started out in 1964 with three employees, and now we're at or over 400.
Yep.
And you've got to ask yourself, what does the borough primarily do for us? It, you know, the number one thing that it does is it assists the state in funding our schools, which is, that's a whole nother topic of conversation. The state, of course, has the constitutional responsibility for funding our schools. And they've managed to pass a lot of that burden onto us, and I think that's worth addressing. But in addition to funding our schools, really the borough is operating in a landfill that requires me to load my garbage in the back of my car and transport it to a transfer station, which is not ideal, but it's, you know, it's adequate. And it operates an animal shelter. Those are the three most important things that the borough does in its provision of service in exchange for our tax dollars. And it's obviously inefficient, and something has to be done to bring it in line.
Okay. Jeannie, you want to take a shot at it?
Oh, lots to say. I agree about the increase in supervisors and management. When I was at Animal Control, same number of employees, but most of them were actually the employees that were working and handling the animals. I was actually the manager and the shelter veterinarian, and now there's a manager, a shelter supervisor, and they actually wanted in this year's budget an animal control officer supervisor that would supervise five people. And I said, "How, you know, you've got teachers in classrooms that are supervising 32 kids, and these are all adults at the borough. Certainly, you could certainly, one manager could supervise 17 or 18 employees." So that actually did not go into the final budget request. So thankfully, we're still okay there. But yeah, the you know, the whole thing with not even being responsive. I think about another part of the borough is all the commissions that are out there. And was it last month that Robert Hannon resigned from the Library Commission? Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. There's people on other commissions that feel the same way. They don't feel like they're effective. They're supposed to be the sounding board for the public, but they're not engaged. The public isn't engaged because when you go, you get 3 minutes, and you don't have a conversation. We need to have those commissions need to be more open to discussion and interaction with the public, and then they relay that stuff to the assembly.
Okay.
I couldn't agree with that more. The boards and commissions are really a critical part of the democratic process here, mm-hmm. and they're too formal. They're too rigid. And I don't think that they're as fully supported by the borough staff as they should be. Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with Mr. Hannon's resignation from that board, and he resigned because he didn't feel like he was being taken seriously, mm-hmm. or being given adequate support. But again, I just want to reiterate, the boards and commissions are a critical part of our borough government, mm-hmm. and they need to be augmented. Not hamstrung.
Okay, good. Tom, any last word? We got another call.
Okay, I'll just leave off, but I'm just going to throw an idea. It's kind of poking the bear. But has anybody thought about just seeking, you know, we are the success story when it comes to our marijuana, our retail industry, and our growth industry. We're seen as being the success story for the state. Has there been any thought about implementing borough-supervised gambling. And I'll leave it at that.
We're going to have to take that one up. Let's...
I'll let you go.
Yeah, all right. Borough gambling. But let's put that on hold. I make a note here because I have another... Actually, I have two calls. We better get at the phones.
Oh, you have a great week.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, yep. Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
Well, my name's Bill. I had a question for the young lady there. She mentioned the transfer sites were good, people liked them. And then she said, but, and there was a pause, and she says, well, I'm going to turn it over to her. So I thought, but what on those transfer case sites?
Well, some of the main sites, Farmers Loop and I think the...
Okay.
Some of the main sites, Farmers Loop sites, and I think the PD Road site, they're closed at 10 at night because there's been so many problems with them. And a lot of times you do go to these sites and they are really trashed. And there's the police and troopers report there's, you know, lots of visits there late at night especially. And but I do like the fact, I enjoy going to the transfer site and bringing back a treasure. You know, it might be a dirty animal kennel that all it needs is scrubbed up. You know, I've got all kinds of treasures that I've gotten from there so I love the fact that we have those platforms. Mm-hmm. I just wish that they would stay tidier, and the way that we did it as a community in North Pole was basically it was just a group of volunteers that said, hey, we're just going to tidy these up every day and we're going to make these little containers and put them together, and it worked. But somehow I fear that it's getting so bad that we've got to figure out something to do. I do not want them closed. I love the options mm-hmm. we have. But we've got to figure something out.
Okay.
Quick like
one.
That. Well, I just want to add, there's definitely room for improvement with the transfer station sites, obviously. And I love your idea of volunteers pitching in to help to keep them tidy. And I think you've relayed that story to me before, and I think you encountered some resistance on the part of staff.
Yeah, I got a call from the manager of landfill saying, I understand that you're part of this group. And I said, yes. And he said, well. And I said, look, you know, I cleared it with the guys that run the skidsters and the guys that do the dump trucks. And he said, but you didn't clear it with me. They work for me. And I said, well, actually, Bob, I think that you work for us. And so that did not go over very well. But then I had to get permission because he gave me 24 hours to take the things down. So I went to the Economic Development Commission, which is the only commission I could think possibly might have anything to do with transfer sites. Mm-hmm. And they gave me their blessings. And we continued it for another year. And then the borough decided it was such a good idea, they'd take it over. And it didn't do so well after that.
All right. So we have another call, and we'll go to that. And we got about 4 minutes before the satellite takes over. So, good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, quick one.
Yes, I just wondered how your candidates feel about the subject of consolidation, you know, where you join the borough, the Fairbanks borough, with the city of Fairbanks. And just as a quick point of reference, I might mention that the city of Anchorage and the Anchorage area borough, they consolidated way back in 1976 to create the powerful municipality of Anchorage. And also, mm-hmm. I might mention that Mindy O'Neill, the current candidate, I heard her in an April 7th, 2025 interview where she seems to favor consolidation, she says, for the sake of efficiency. How do you two stand on the subject of consolidation, putting Fairbanks Borough and the city of Fairbanks into a powerful municipality?
I'm going to leap in here. Is that okay
Go
with
ahead.
You, Jeannie?
Yep.
I would not support that, Randy. I think that, for one thing, it's a little anti-democratic. Right now you've got one assembly and one city council, both of which are democratically elected. They have their own constituencies. I don't want to eliminate one of those and have a consolidated legislative body. Plus, you're talking about creating a more powerful municipality. I think that's a terrible idea. I think our municipalities are powerful enough as it is. And the problem that we have right now is we've got to take, as citizens and as constituents, we've got to take some of that power back.
Okay. I can address it after the break.
Nope.
Do we have time?
We've got a couple of minutes.
Okay, then I'll address it. Yes, I agree with JT. I was actually living in Anchorage when they consolidated, and it was a big decision for them. I think the borough is the borough, and the Fairbanks City Council and North Pole City Council are very, very different and unique communities.
Right.
And that I think you are creating an incredible bureaucracy. People don't really understand. There's a lot of people out there that live in the city and they think they can't vote in the borough elections, mm-hmm. which is odd, but there's that, and that everybody can vote for every borough candidate. Well, not for one seat, but you can. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just because you live in the city doesn't mean you can't vote in the borough election.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Bye.
Now, there was another gentleman who'd called in previously, and I feel like we haven't addressed his question.
The gambling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we have time to address that before we
go to
break?
Well, real quick. We'll get started on it. We've got about a minute and a half.
Well, look, taxes are a drag on anything that you apply them to. And I have some serious misgivings about getting too much in the business of taxing vice in this community. I mean, we have to do it as a practical matter, but I don't know that we need to add to the ways in which the citizenry can be exposed to more enticing ways to deplete their own resources.
Almost okay. A vice. Yes. I know people that have gone broke and bankrupt from gambling. It becomes an altruistic thing that they just have to do. Mm-hmm. There's other things that don't work either. Animal control license, when that rears its head every 10 years or so, you can show that it actually does not help raise taxes because of the implementation and the bureaucracy to collect those taxes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look at that. Perfect timing. So
that was a better response.
No, I
hear the music in the background, and that means a satellite is coming overhead, and it's going to take over the program. But you're listening to Problem Corner, and with me in the studio are Jeannie Olson and J.T. McComas-Rowe, and we're talking about Borough Assembly Seat C. So stay with us. We will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
News
of
John Saucier. The federal government remains shut down a third straight day. Congress struggling to agree on a plan to reopen it. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
The 1.3 million men and women of America's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and Space Force, who serve honorably and put their lives on the line to defend us all, are not being paid.
Democrats want to extend Affordable Care Act subsidies for health care. President Trump demanding that Hamas agree to a Gaza peace deal that would end the war and free the remaining hostages. Keith Siegel was held hostage by Hamas for 484 days, tells Fox this deal is the final chance to save those still held in Gaza.
I'm here to show my support. I'm here to speak on behalf of my friends that are still in captivity and all of the 48 hostages there.
Boy, Hamas official telling the Associated Press some elements of this peace deal were unacceptable, but didn't give any further details. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that Southwest Airlines will be adding service to Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport beginning in May 2026. Southwest Airlines COO Andrew Watterson said at a press conference Thursday, the service will provide one daily flight from Anchorage to Denver and one from Anchorage to Las Vegas. The flights will start going on sale next week when Southwest publishes its schedule extension. We wanted to identify destinations that our current customers would want to aspire to visit and potential new customers would think, hey, I've never considered I could use Southwest Airlines to get where I want to go, Watterson said. Anchorage, without a doubt, checks the box for both of those. A press release from Southwest Airlines says Anchorage is the fifth new destination Southwest has announced so far in 2025 and will expand its network to 122 airports as well as make Alaska the 43rd state in Southwest's domestic network. Anchorage Mayor Suzanne LaFrance called it an exciting day for Anchorage during the Thursday press conference.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hello, folks. I'm JT McComas Rowe, and I'm running to represent you on your borough assembly. Now, you may think that taxes aren't on the ballot in this election, but don't be fooled. Who you vote for on October 7th will absolutely impact how deep the borough gets its hands into your pocket. You work hard for your money, and you should have a say in how your money gets spent. So vote JT McComas Rowe on October 7th.
Paid for by McComas Row for Assembly, POB 72789, Fairbanks.
Trust is a precious commodity. A septic tank, for instance, me, knows this. My family knows this. I taught them this. Now they trust Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing to pump me out. I need but one thing, and I have my limits. Winter's coming, holidays, company. Don't want me messing up your entertainment plans? Trust me, Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing just once a year is your best choice.
Socktober is back. We are holding a sock drive for the Fairbanks Native Association SOAP program. SOAP stands for Street Outreach and Advocacy Program. They help with youth ages 10 to 25 in our community who may be homeless, at risk of being homeless, or may have just left home. We want to help these young people by holding another sock drive. Socks are the most needed item every year for the SOAP program. Please bring your new socks to Jeans Chrysler on South Cushman. We want to fill up the back of a Dodge truck with new socks. For every pair of new socks you bring in, you'll get an entry to win some great prizes. Our grand prize is a $300 gift certificate to Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. We will also be pulling some weekly winners as well for Ice Dog Ticks, Nanook Sports, comedy tickets, and more. The more socks you bring in, the more entries you get. We will be accepting socks until October 31st and announce our winners on November 1st. Once again, new socks only, please. And remember to bring them to Jeans Chrysler. For more details, go to this station's website. Socktober is back.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
I agree. And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio are Jeannie Olson and JT McComas Rowe, who are running for Borough Assembly Seat C. And if you want to call in, have some questions, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And where were we?
Gambling.
Yes. And did we cover that adequately?
I don't know that we covered it at all on the air, did we?
Okay, I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, we had a long discussion about it.
We did during the break.
Off the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting issue, but alternative revenues.
I think if both
the state and the local level, we're either going to be cutting services or increasing revenue. So your thoughts?
Well, again, when it comes to increasing revenue, my my favorite way of doing that is expanding your tax base. Mm-hmm. You expand your tax base by building new things. And people are going to do more of that when they have less of a property tax burden that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. As far as raising revenue by taxing something like gambling, you know, I don't have any objection to it. And on occasion, I've been known to participate in the Super Bowl football pool.
Right.
So I don't have any objection to gambling, but you don't want to make your revenue sources dependent on encouraging an economic activity that is really economic erosion, right? Mm-hmm. Gambling is going to take more money out of this community than it's going to provide in tax revenue to the city of Fairbanks. And that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. So it's probably the wrong place to be looking for new revenue.
Okay.
Yep. I think all three of us in the studio during the break agreed with JT's comment. I actually been thinking about other sources of revenue, and I did not come up with this idea, but certainly maybe considering seriously applying tipping fees to the Mancho ore truck, tons of ore that come up daily. I did some checking, and I didn't do all the math, so all the people that love math can do more of it for me. But they average about 80 tons per truck with 60 trips a year, or mm-hmm. 60 trips a day, right? So that's about 4,800 tons a day. Mm-hmm. In that, there is about 9.46 grams of gold per ton. And so they last, I got this information from a mining journal called North of 60 Mining News, May of 2025. The current gold price right now is $3,896 an ounce. And last quarter, in the quarter, first quarter of 2025, the Mancho gold, not Fort Knox total, but the Mancho gold, yielded $70 million in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And so when you generate that, the amount of tons of waste ore, I mean, I can see, you can probably see it too, Mike, if you mm-hmm. take Nordale, the mountain that is growing. Mm-hmm. And if we applied tipping fees to that, I don't know what we would do if we would do it reverse and say, how much do we need? And then go backwards to say, this is how much we want to give you or charge you a tipping fee. It's not really a tax, so it wouldn't affect our tax cap. But I think we could maybe consider trying to figure out maybe a different way to help fund education until Juno gets her act together. But I also think that cost effectiveness and looking at efficiencies is a really, really important way to look at how. I mean, I don't mind paying taxes, but I do mind paying taxes for things that aren't necessary.
Okay. And we got another phone call, so let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Good morning, it's Butch Currier, and I was just calling, you know, taxes and revenue. So the Anchorage municipality has passed an ordinance where they're giving a 10-year moratorium to builders, homeowners that refurbish or rebuild the dilapidated homes that you know, in the areas where housing has been destroyed or ruined or just gone beyond use. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that for the North Star Borough. Or Thanks. The city of Fairbanks itself.
All right. Thank you.
Well, when you contemplate doing something like that, what you're doing is you're then spreading the tax burden to the other people who aren't involved in that commercial activity. So it's not a fair way to address that problem. And I would disagree that acts as an incentive in anything other than the short term for the construction of new buildings and thereby adds to the tax base. So what you need to do is you need to lower the tax burden for everybody and create an environment where people have the sense that they're no longer being penalized for doing things that will result in higher taxes, like building new homes. If you just get out of the way, you don't need to subsidize it, just get out of the way a little bit and let the private sector do its job, and it will.
A couple of years ago when the borough had the ordinance to defer property taxes for developers that would do multifamily development. Mm-hmm. I was the only one in the assembly that testified against it. All the business people, they were for it. And mm-hmm. I had crunched and I looked at some of the local multi developments in the North Pole area and looked on the property database about how much taxes they were doing. So I would guess that, okay, that's going to be the example of how much we're going to lose, and that tax burden would then be shifted to other people. And, of course, they said, no, that's not true. But then that later on after it passed, they said, well, it is true. And then and it actually kind of didn't come to very much of a fruition because building prices skyrocketed during the pandemic, and there was so much bureaucracy and paperwork from the for the developers to get this through all the departments in the borough that I don't think it was very successful. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still around, but I don't think it's happening very much.
Yeah, you'll do much better to just get out of the way. Make the platting process easier and less expensive. Make going to the planning commission for a conditional use permit easier and less expensive. And that activity will come about as a result. Mm-hmm. There's a huge demand for housing. Mm-hmm. I think we're about to see interest rates come down. So we're already poised to see more construction. Lower the property taxes and get off everybody's back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the builders take the matter in hand.
All right. So thank you for calling. And speaking of economic development, there is a lot of noise being made about the gas pipeline. What are your thoughts on the gas pipeline?
I'll take that one.
What should we do? Jeannie, you take the first turn.
Let's see. Can't remember what night it was. Was it Wednesday night, I think? Larry Persilli and somebody named Stan, but it didn't his last name, had a webinar based out of Anchorage. And Larry, apparently, he years ago was on the gas pipeline thing, so he has an insider's appreciation for it. But basically, they've spent, I think it's like $480 million the state has used in public money for decades now, and we still just have a dream. We have nothing concrete, and it was I think it was recorded, and I don't know how you can find it, but it was a couple hours long, and it was really factual and well worth looking at. But basically, they were saying, you know, there's hundreds of gas pipelines in the world, none of them have a 500-mile pipeline to the export, and by the time and our apparently our gas up there has got a lot of carbon dioxide in it, so it has to be scrubbed, and it's not very quality gas as opposed to the quality gold down in Manh Choh. So there's a lot of problems with it, and by the time you transport it and everything, it's going to be very expensive, very expensive. And I know Anchorage is worried about running out of gas in 2028, and they presented the statistics and said, just buy it from Canada. Just bring it in. It's going to be cheaper.
JT.
Yeah, I think there are alternative ways to get the gas that make more economic sense. But if the pipeline does get built, I think that we shouldn't allow it to get built past Fairbanks. If they start construction of that pipeline and they propose to take it past us and not connect us to it, we ought to blockade.
Yeah, and I really don't think any more public funds should be used. You know, there's a new private developer out there right now thinking about it. They're based out of New York, but they're a very, very small company. And Larry Persilli said, look, you know, the three major oil companies bailed on it. You know, they said, no, this is not a good idea. We're out of here. That was Exxon?
Exxon, not Arco,
BP
at the time. And
ConocoPhillips. Yeah, they all said, we're out of here. Yeah. So if those major businesses say it's a bad idea, it's not economically feasible, I agree with them. Maybe it was years and years ago, but right now I think we can really rely, I think, better on some. We've got a lot of brilliant ideas and engineers out there. Look at Bernie Carl, what he did with Chino Hot Springs with geothermal, you know? So I think geothermal and solar and the new wind sources that are out, not the sources, but the ways to capture the wind that are out there, technology instead of the giant fan blades, and just also being more aware of our energy uses. I think we'll be ready.
Look, if it makes economic sense for the pipeline to be built, it'll happen. You don't have to bend over backwards to subsidize it. And I think you and I have had a conversation in the past about how difficult it is for the private sector to get the permits and approvals from the state in particular to do things like that. So that's one way that we can help, is we can make it easier for private enterprise to get the permits and approvals to do what they propose to do if it makes economic sense.
They have got all the permits done. There is a sunshine or sundown permit thing on it, but it's still quite a few years in the making for that. So the permits are there except for the spur line to Fairbanks.
All right. So we have, I've got 46 pass. So we've got to take a break. Here's some messages from our sponsors that make this this show possible. So you're listening to Problem Corner. And with me in the studio is Jeannie Olson and J.T. McCormick. And
they've been talking about
stay with us.
Years.
We will be right back.
Never goes anywhere.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
After selling out last trip, Emmy Award-winning comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is returning to Fairbanks. Catch him live Wednesday, October 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday the 2nd at the Spur, with a venue change Friday and Saturday night, the 3rd and 4th, for two intimate shows at the historic Palace Theater and Saloon in Pioneer Park. Tickets at alaskacomedy.com. Brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie's Station and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Don't miss Fitz.
Civility. It's been missing for too long. I'm Patrick Roach, and I'm running for Borough Assembly to focus on what really matters. Our schools, affordable housing, thriving business, and quality parks and facilities. Enough with the bickering. We can do this. Vote Patrick Roach for Borough Assembly. Thank you.
Paid for by Patrick Roach for Assembly. P.O. Box 81745, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99708.
Attention small clinics, dental, and medical offices. Tired of overpaying for your medical waste disposal? Golden Heart Waste Management is your local solution right here in Fairbanks. We pick up, treat, and dispose of your medical waste without shipping it out of town. That means faster service and real savings. See what Golden Heart Waste Management can do for you. Call 907-455-4496. Or get a quick quote at ghwmfairbanks.com. If you haven't gotten a quote from us, you're probably paying too much.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for rain. High temperatures reach up to 42. Winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Mixed precipitation likely changing to all rain. Lows dip down to about 35. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High of 48. Overcast. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. With me in the studio are J.T. McComas-Rowe and Jeannie Olson. They're running for Seat A on the Borough Assembly, and we have somebody that has been waiting on the phone all the way through the break, so we better go to the phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Bill.
Bill, what's on your mind?
Well, if geothermal is such a good thing, why does Bernie Carl run two 500 KW cat generators 24 hours around the clock? That's one question for Jeannie. JT, I did not hear your response on the Mancho trucking. And Jeannie, did you figure out how much these guys actually pay in taxes as far as federal excise tax, tire tax, fuel tax, and the monies that they pay to the state of Alaska for royalties? Did you take that in consideration with your numbers fumbling down there?
Yes and no. I know that they pay a lot of property taxes to the borough too, but I think, you know, but they wouldn't have invested in this if they didn't know they were going to make a lot of money. And I think the impact to the roads, you know, there was that big study, the engineering study, then they had that meeting at the Carlson Center, and they said that the substrate statistics or specs for the asphalt is not adequate for the weight of these trucks, and yet that's what we still use. And I drive to Tok every other month, and I can tell you that the northbound lanes are much more showing much more wear and tear, especially the shoulder areas, than the southbound lanes when they're coming empty. And it could be just a coincidence, and I don't know how much we need to study that, but I think they are not paying what they should. You know, basically, this is still this is their conveyor belt. This isn't just commercial use. They're actually taking ore and bringing it up like a conveyor belt with their trucks onto these public highways. So basically an industrial use instead of a commercial use. So I think, I don't want to pick on them. I know they're very generous to the communities around, supporting a lot of the different nonprofits and stuff. But I just think this is kind of like the oil companies right now. They're taking advantage of Alaska. And we should be taking a second look at this. You know, I get it that they're really contributing to our economy, but they could contribute more.
Okay, JT.
So I was on the Governor's Roads and Highways Advisory Board when this issue came to the fore, and they initially set up some, I think it was a stakeholder council or committee that was supposed to evaluate what the impact was going to be and make a report to the state about that. And before that process was finished, they basically suspended it because I think they anticipated that they were going to get some local pushback on the proposed project. I'm in favor of resource extraction. I'm in favor of the jobs that come with that. I'm in favor of the taxes that come with that. But it can't happen in a way that the public winds up subsidizing the project. And I think there are some issues with the ore haul that need to be addressed.
How are they subsidizing?
Well, let's talk about that. The engineering report that was commissioned by the state to evaluate what the impact of that ore haul would be concluded that it was going to do $1 billion worth of damage to the roadbed. And I don't think that's being adequately addressed. And the public is going to wind up paying the cost of that. So that's a problem, and I think that we need to look at it and come up with a solution. But I want the ore haul to continue. I want other extraction projects that are in the pipeline to come to fruition. But we can't subsidize it.
You still lost me on the subsidizing because most of our
Look, if the public winds up paying $1 billion to fix a roadbed.
But isn't that federal money?
Well, what does it matter where the tax dollars come from? They're still tax dollars.
Correct. But I still think people do not take in consideration the money that they spent and pay out and give them no credit for it.
No, I do give them credit for it, and I want it to continue. But I want it to continue in a way that's fair, and I think it bears looking into some of these problems. And I think most people will agree there are a few issues. I think it needs to be done in a way that is fair to the taxpayers in this borough. They can't be left with a bill to pay as a result of that project.
Okay. I'll accept that.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
But I still want to know the answer to the 2 500 kW cat generators that run Chena Hot Springs when geothermal is such a good thing.
I'll turn that over to Jeannie.
Okay. Well, I do know a couple things. Bernie likes to whitewash things, so maybe there are generators there, but he claims on his websites that it's all geothermal. So I do not know. You may be more right than me, for sure, on that one. But he is a creative genius, yet he's a businessman, right? So also I do know a little bit, some little things about geothermal is that once you start using geothermal, you sometimes have to consider changing your source because at a certain point, the more you take out from whatever little pool you have, the water gets cooler and cooler.
Yes.
So, but that's like 10 years down the road and for each source. But I just think there's so many other things. Thermoelectric generation. To me, what I would like to see is, okay, we use solar is an incredible thing. And I was told by a dealer in Anchorage that more people per capita in Fairbanks are putting solars on than in Anchorage, which is interesting because we don't have as long of solar gain, but when we do, we really do.
Subsidized?
Is it subsidized?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And all the commercial businesses in town, they do it for federal tax purposes.
And so do residentials, mm-hmm. for sure. But that's going away this year. Mm-hmm. But I have solar panels. I haven't gotten them on my roof yet or on the ground or hooked up, but I got the panels, and the inverter. And thermoelectric generators, I think we should look more into that. I went to a wood stove challenging event down in D.C. a few years ago, 10 years ago maybe, and all the innovative wood stove guys were putting thermoelectric generators on their wood stoves. And that's crazy because we don't gain solar power in the winter, but if we burn or if you put a little thermoelectric generator on some of these heat sources, like the smaller ones, if you wanted to do it just for your house, just put a couple of thermoelectric generators on the side of your wood stove and you can power your battery banks. They're the size of a hockey puck.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your phone call. Let's see. We've got about 3 minutes left. So about a minute each. Closing comments. I get the final word. So if you would,
Ladies first.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, like I said at the beginning, I'm running as an independent. I have run a very, very grassroots campaign, and some people are concerned that it's not a strong campaign, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's who I really am. And if you want to vote for me, I'd really be honored. But I also have been encouraging people to donate to nonprofits instead of public campaigns because I just feel it's a better use of our money right now. So, just if anything, just please vote.
All right. Very good. JT.
Well, so I always really enjoy having an opportunity to spar with Jeannie, although I don't think we sparred too much.
No, nope, not at all. Well, a little bit.
A little bit. And there are a few differences between us. But I really enjoy your perspective. But let me wrap this up by saying the same thing that I said at one of the forums. If you're one of those people in this community that agrees with me that what we need more of is responsible government that operates under a balanced budget, that prioritizes education spending, and manages to respect the taxpayer, then I hope you'll consider casting your vote for me on October 7th.
All right. And with that, I want to thank both of you. There are some differences. I'll hold my opinion on that and leave the choice up to the listeners where it should be. But do pay attention to all of the races. There are some distinct differences. And the most important thing is that you do get out and vote. And with that, right now, early voting is going on at the...
Early voting, I think, ended...
Ended yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. I am behind the times. Then that might be the case with absentee in person.
Don't know.
Well, if you think of it, stop by the City Hall of North Pole, City Hall of Fairbanks, or the Bentley Mall, and I might be wrong, but...
Bentley Mall is closed.
We know that. Wow, the next opportunity then is going to be the...
It's going to be game day, October 7th.
Game day, October 2nd. And be sure and get out and vote, and that will improve the process at the very least. And now, I was expecting... There we go. I got this perfectly timed. The music is starting in the background. You've been listening to KFAR... Problem Corner, and thank you again for our guests, JT McComas and Jeannie Olson, and be sure and get out and vote on Tuesday, and tune into Problem Corner again on Monday. So thank you for listening, and we will talk to you in a couple of days.
This is your talk station.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
660 AM, KFAR, Fairbanks.
This is a Fox News alert. A government shutdown will continue for now. I'm Lisa Brady. Two short-term spending plans failing again in the U.S. Senate, with Democrats still pushing to address health care concerns, and Republican leaders saying those talks could happen after the government reopens. And in the meantime, the White House still warning of cuts to federal programs.
Thousands of federal workers are under the threat of layoffs as part of a cost-cutting move by the Trump administration.